invite you to pray with me. Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Bring conviction to our hearts through the living word. And initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, today before us in our gospel reading is the concept of conversion. Today we're going to be looking closely at Nathanael as we take a look at John chapter 1. So you can either turn in your own Bibles to John chapter 1 or open one of the Pew Bibles and turn to page 887. I encourage you to follow along. John chapter 1, page 887. We will have 3 points in our discussion of Nathanael this morning: foundation, growth, and conversion. Now, our first point this morning is foundation. And I'm using that term talking about where a person is from. Every person has a foundation. Every one of you has a foundation of who you are. Your foundation will reflect where you're from. It will reflect, among other things, your region, your relatives, and your religion. You all have a foundation. Now, I think you all basically know my foundation. I was born and raised in Western Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. I was raised, you may not know, in a family that was marked by, in an extended family that was marked by alcoholism. And I was raised in a family that regularly worshiped in an Anglican, but at that time Episcopal, church. Now, in recent days, there's been much questioning of me regarding my foundation with respect to the football game between the Steelers and the Jaguars today, and we're going to get to that later. That's my foundation. My region was Pittsburgh. My relatives, all influenced one way or another by alcoholism, and my religion was birthed in a flawed but faithful Christian family. Where you are from matters. Your foundation matters because it influences everything, how you engage with the world. Now, Nathanael is before us. What is Nathanael's foundation? Well, what we know is that he was friends with Philip. We know Philip, and we read in Scripture that Philip was from Bethsaida, verse 44, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip was from the region of Galilee. Nathanael is one of his friends. It's not clear, but I believe we can attest to the fact that Nathanael is from Galilee, north of Jerusalem. So that's his region. What about his relatives? Nathanael is known to be Jewish. If it wasn't clear by who he was hanging out with and where he lived, Jesus declared it in verse 47. When Jesus saw him coming, Jesus proclaimed, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Behold, an Israelite. So his relatives would have been Jewish. Region is Galilee, relatives are Jewish, making his religion Judaism. He was a worshiper of Almighty God. Where you are from matters. Nathanael's foundation was marked by faithful Jewish worship. It would have been, given where he lived. It was marked by expectancy for God's redemption of Israel, as all of Judaism as that time was focused on. And Nathanael's foundation would have been marked by an educated understanding of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. Now, in our scripture this morning, Philip has met Jesus in verse 43. And Jesus has called to Philip, "Come and follow me." And then we read one of the first things that Philip does. He finds his friend Nathanael, and he tells him, "I found the Messiah." The most exciting news at that time in that culture. But that's not what he says. He doesn't say, I found the Messiah. He says this. Look at verse 45 in John chapter 1. Nathanael said, or Philip found Nathanael and said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. A much deeper description of who the Messiah is. Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. I found the Messiah, he proclaims. Philip says to his friend Nathanael, you know the scriptures, and I found him. And then maybe there was a pause as he then said, and it is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And at that point, Nathanael exclaims, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Probably a knee-jerk reaction. But that's how he responds. That makes no sense, bro. Maybe he didn't say that, but I know the scriptures, Nathanael would have said. Messiah's not from Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Where you are from matters. It influenced Nathanael's response. He knew scriptures. He knew that the Messiah would be from Bethlehem. And where you're from still today influences much of Judaism as they reflect on Jesus. Nathanael's first reaction is the same as many Jewish leaders recorded in the Gospels. He can't be Messiah. They doubted. He's from Nazareth. There was always doubt first. I asked Rabbi David of a local Messianic Jewish synagogue, the church that hosted us back in 2004, 5, and 6, or 5, 6, and 7 back in there. I asked him, why do the Jews misunderstand who Jesus is, given what we Christians commonly understand? We think it's so clear. Well, Jesus fulfilled all of these scriptures. Well, Jesus is Messiah. What's the problem for so many Jews? Well, it was where Jesus was from. And that was exactly Nathanael's problem. The Messiah would not be from Nazareth, but from Bethlehem, according to prophecy. Now, some of you are thinking, but he is, right? He fulfilled that prophecy. Well, not so fast. Consider it this way. I'm from Pittsburgh. My mother is pregnant with me. And so they live in Pittsburgh, and they're traveling. Let's say they're traveling to Jacksonville. Suddenly, she gives birth to me in Jacksonville. Then we return to Pittsburgh. Where am I from? You don't sound convinced. I'm from Pittsburgh, right. I heard many of you say it. But I was born in Jacksonville, but I'm from Pittsburgh. Where you're from matters. Jesus was from Nazareth. But born in Bethlehem, his birth fulfilled the prophet Micah's declaration that we read in Micah chapter 5. If you could throw that slide up. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrata, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Jesus' birth fulfills this prophetic declaration, but he's from Nazareth. Nathanael's foundation sets him up to receive Philip's news the way many Jewish leaders did, and they reject it. In that little culture, those little towns, they all knew who Jesus was. They knew his parents. They knew where he lived. Couldn't be. But then verse 46, what does Philip say to his friend? He says, come and see. Come and see. And we move from our first point, foundation, to our second point, growth. Growth, how you grow and mature, is very important. Philip brings Nathanael to meet Jesus. And Nathanael He agrees to go along, even though he's rejected Jesus. He couldn't be the Messiah, but I'll go along. Now they travel, and who knows what they talked about along the way or how long it took. But I propose to you that they did not travel in silence. As Philip had just dropped this bomb, I found the Messiah. Perhaps Philip told what he himself witnessed in Jesus when he encountered Jesus. Perhaps Philip told him what he had heard about happenings in Jerusalem in the temple when Simeon proclaimed that Jesus was Messiah as Jesus was a baby. Maybe what John the Baptist had testified regarding Jesus, but I assure you, Philip probably talked a lot. I found the Messiah, and this is how I know. I propose that on the way, Nathanael would have heard a lot from Philip, and what we see about Nathanael was that he was open. He went along, and he was open. Now, I believe all people fall into basically two camps. Some, as they grow and as they mature, will remain closed to anything that's different from their foundation. Others, as they grow and mature, will be open. Some will be closed to new learning, to new perspectives. Some will be closed to the gospel if they've never heard it before. Some will live their lives and be open. Nathanael had to be open to the possibility that his understanding of Messiah might be wrong, that his lifelong understanding of Messiah might need to be adjusted to go along with his friend. Nathanael was open, and I think it had a lot to do with his friend bringing him. I believe if Philip had just said, "Go and see," Nathanael would have done one of these and would have gone right home. But Philip took him to Jesus. This brings us to our final point. First point, foundation. Second point, growth. And now to conversion. In verse 47, Nathanael meets Jesus. Jesus, as God the Son, he makes an observation about Nathanael. We read it earlier. "Behold, an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael's never met Jesus, but yet Jesus proclaims something about him. And what does Nathanael say? "How do you know me?" How do you know me, Jesus? Or maybe, "How do you know me?" As Nathanael's processing what Jesus has said, Jesus says, "Before Philip called," in verse 48, "before Philip called you, I saw you." Nathanael at this moment grows into a new understanding of Messiah as he experiences firsthand Jesus Christ, God the Son. And he expresses, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael's foundation sets him up to reject Jesus as Messiah because he's from Nazareth, but his friend is persistent. "Come and see." Nathanael's openness to Philip's testimony brings him face to face with the living Word, the long-awaited Messiah, God the Son, and Nathanael's converted. Now, what happened next to Nathanael? Well, scriptures aren't clear. Some would say we never hear from him again. Some scholars have said, well, Nathanael, because he's a friend with Philip, and he was there, and he was converted, he must have been one of the 12 disciples. But none of the lists include a Nathanael. Well, when you read about Philip, one of his friends was Bartholomew. Now, Bartholomew is a family name. Bartholomew in Judaism means son of Ptolemy, son of Ptolemew, as it's written in English. That's a family name. Some have surmised that Bartholomew is the disciple whose real name was Nathanael. We don't know for sure. At this point, it's not important. What happened next to Nathanael? My guess is Nathanael would have stayed with Jesus, right? Philip said, come and meet the Messiah. I found him. Then he declares this is the Messiah. I'm guessing he hung around a little while. His whole world has changed. I'm guessing he would have stayed with his friend Philip and followed Jesus. I believe he would have followed Philip's example and said to others of his friends, come and see. He would have said to any Jewish person around him, you got to come and see. We found the Messiah. Come and see. Nathanael was changed. True conversion, you understand, will lead one to change. Conversion brings change of mindset, change of behavior. We read about that in our reading from 1 Corinthians. But you, who are now followers of Jesus, have been changed. You'll no longer live this way as God changes you. Conversion will lead to change. Change of priorities, what is important. Ultimately, it will lead to a change of worship. What you worship is important. Nathanael was changed. But it's during those changes that everyone who's ever been converted, it's during the changes that everyone will experience pushback and persecution from their old life. Because guess what? No one wants you to change. Look at any new Christians who go back to their families and their families say, you've lost your mind. Unless they've been praying for them, in which case they say, praise the Lord. Now, I didn't really have a conversion back in October where I went to Pittsburgh and wore a Jaguars jersey in Heinz Field. Wasn't exactly a conversion. But I assure you, I received pushback from those in my hometown who said, you have lost your mind, and many other strong things that I had to delete from my Facebook account. We see this pushback in the disciples. Jewish culture told them they were nuts. Jewish leadership persecuted them as criminals. They were disowned by their families. Jewish leadership ultimately killed them as enemies to the Jewish church. Don't you think others whom Nathanael would have approached and said, I found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, would have responded the exact same way he did? You're crazy. You've lost your mind. It's that persecution, though, that will lead everyone who's been converted either to further growth as they push through the rejection and persecution, or it will lead them to regression of faith and ultimately rejection. Converted will either continue to grow in their life, growing beyond the persecution, or they'll back up as they're questioned and challenged and called out by their old lives. Either to partially reject or fully reject their new beliefs as they then return to their old lives, their old behaviors, and their old priorities. So where do you see yourself in this story? Are you questioning who Jesus is this morning? Would you say you've been converted, putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior? And in your converted faith, are you growing? Are you open to growth or are you regressing? Now, my testimony of one of the conversions that's happened in my life. My foundation is Pittsburgh. I'll always be from Pittsburgh. But there was a conversion of sorts that began when God moved me here and brought me to Redeemer. And in the beginning, all of you can attest that knew me back then, I was a Pittsburgher living in Jacksonville. I was here by name only. You saw my car, you saw everything I wore. Over the past 10 years, though, the Lord's been changing me and changing my heart about this place. I've been the leader since I became rector in 2010, but my conversion to Jax hasn't been easy. It hasn't all been roses. It's been hard, and especially difficult in these past few years. I know I was called here, but there have been times that ministry has been difficult and that ministry has been lonely. But then came September 24th this past year. Something happened. And it was a situation, I would say, maybe a little bit like what we read in our Old Testament reading about Samuel. It was during our listening season at Redeemer that the Lord clearly spoke to me. It was during the morning service. It was an all-together service that morning. It was our congregational meeting, so we were all together. And it's funny, I remember Neil didn't come to church very often, but Neil was right there. I remember that. And I was just doing what I normally do in worship. We had the offering, and I walked forward, and I held up the offering plates to give thanks for God. Thanks to God for that, and to pray for this offering. And it was at that point I received an unexpected clarity on my call here. Was not looking for it, but it was, I would say, a voice that said, "This is your home. These are my people," God said. "You are my under-shepherd, and you are their leader." I'd been here almost 10 years, and at that moment, unexpected, God gives me that epiphany. At that moment, I sensed the Lord clearly saying, "This is home." In recent weeks, I've witnessed good and powerful fruit in so many of your lives who are participating here. We've seen the Holy Spirit's presence in worship through our services these past few months. We've witnessed people coming forward to either recommit their lives to Christ or to give their lives to Christ for the first time at communion during our weekly altar call as a result of the preaching of God's word. I witnessed on Christmas Eve many coming forward during that service to reaffirm their baptismal vows and their reaffirming their commitment to follow after Jesus, that the old is gone and the new has come. This morning's not just about me, but it's about what the Lord is doing in each of your lives and what the Lord is doing at this time at Church of the Redeemer. And my question, I believe God's question to each of you is this morning. Are you just here as a curious observer of faith? Are you here just as a regular attender of a religious service? Or are you here because this is your spiritual family? Are you curious about faith or through conversion, like Nathaniel, have become a follower of Jesus? If you're not yet converted, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is who he said he is. He is God the Son, Messiah, and Savior. And if you don't believe it, I'll be happy to buy you coffee or lunch and let's talk more. As Nathaniel is convinced, I am convinced, and many others, we have been convinced Jesus is Messiah, Savior, and Lord, and the only way to the Father. Now, if you're here as a follower of Jesus, if you've been converted, as I have been, to follow Jesus, have you been converted to be a member of this faith family? Or are you still on the fringe? Are you resisting engaging or joining in or being known? Are you here as a member? Is this your faith community? Is this your church, and are these your people? I want to challenge each and every one of you in this new year. If you're a converted follower of Jesus, if Redeemer is your faith family, then I want to encourage you to live as a member of this family. To be open to God's growth in you through our discipleship classes, but you have to show up. Be open to growth through our listening groups and Bible studies and small groups of other members. You need to step out and engage. Be open to growth and God growing you. Be open to growth and change to step forward and serve the Lord through your time, through your talent, and through your treasure. If this is your faith family and you haven't yet submitted a pledge, then live into your membership. Give of time, talent, and treasure to the Lord. And live as a member of this family. Be open to saying to your neighbors and coworkers, come and see this Jesus who is my Lord. Don't allow yourself simply to exist as a regular attender. Grow into your role as a member here, where every member is important, every member has a purpose, every member is valued by the other members, and where we're all called together to know Christ, to then grow together in faith, which we do when we are together, and then to together go into the world with the message, come and see. This is my church and this is my home. My conversion to Jacksonville is complete. When I arrived, I was a Pittsburgh boy living in Jacksonville, and this was my towel. This was my identity, my identity. Then, way before I could claim the Jaguars, I was converted to Redeemer through you all, through this body. And this became my color, the color of Church of the Redeemer with our Love the City Church, which was my first teal piece of clothing. This is my church shirt. This is my faith family. My foundation, where I'm from, will always be a part of me. It will always be close to my heart, but Jacksonville is my home. And I pray that the Lord will work in like ways in your lives as you live as a follower of Jesus, that he will convert you day by day for the glory of his name. Amen.